The great love stories are infused with intimations of death. The death of love, death through love, and love through death. Our opera and drama, literature and film, legends and gossip, personal experience and casual hearsay, and many analytic hours are filled and shadowed by star-crossed lovers, Mimi and Rodolfo, Romeo and Juliet, Tony and Maria, Scarlett and Brett, Yoko and John, the boy next door, and the girl around the corner. Their duets and dialogues both give voice to current emotion and echo the romantic riffs of fairy tales or the deeper notes of those ancient myths of personages in world-turning relationships. Behind Jackie cradling JFK, we see Isis swooning over her lost mate Osiris. In Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, we hear echoes of Psyche and Eros. Watching Giselle or Romeo and Juliet or Shakespeare in Love, we enter the tradition of desperate and determined lovers wooing through death and the underworld. The consort Jamuzi and Rescuer of Inanna, Dante searching the circles for Beatrice, Orpheus wandering Hades in pursuit of Eurydice. Our romances and rites summon love and death as the inexorable forces in human engagement. As the beginnings of all relationships imply their end, if not in life, then in death, they conjure the unavoidable realities of physical and psychic existence, the mysteries of time, the limitations of personality, the inevitability of change, the dread of decay, the hope of transformation, and the reach toward meaning. Our culture's weddings both invite and snub death. Unto death do we part. More intensely, in tribal cultures, the marriages are the deaths which must nonetheless proceed, both an act against the inertia of nature and a sacrifice in the service of nature. In these tribal rites, we may be stunned by the coupling of love and death. By the mythic stories, we are sustained by the power life and death have over love, and love has over life and death. In our friends, acquaintances, and analysands, we see persons empowered by love, others disempowered by loving. We hear some who feel possessed by being loved, and others who believe they are in love when they're obsessed. Some perceive love as the way to a safe merger, a solid acquisition, or a secure investment. Some see love as a sop for biological breeding or a screen for government tax conspiracy. Yet wherever we look and whatever we think, hidden in the scenarios and sagas of meeting, intimacy, and engagement are issues of power, love, and death. A mythic pattern, a psychoanalytic concept, a human reality. Freud, after Sabina Spielrein, focused on love and death, Eros and Thanatos. Jung pursued the opposition between love and power, where love is, power is not. Where power is, love is not. Today I will triangulate these pairs and follow a trio of realities, power, love, death, as the three norns, forces, fates, presiding over, at play in, relationship. Love, death, and power are the eminences in romantic arias and soap opera, in casual betrayals and committed betrothals, extended marriages, and sometimes as extensive divorces. How these are balanced determines if love flourishes and lovers thrive, or if love corrodes and leaves lovers embittered. Because lust, passion, and love have such impact, they have been imagined as magic, spells, and sorcery, and embodied as gods. Because love is so powerful, it has been shaped as a piercing arrow, a revengeful stroke, a monstrous transmutation, a horrifying dismemberment. Ovid's Metamorphoses tells of dangerous liaisons with dread consequences. He presents different sorts of love's unfortunates. those who are wasted by misdirected attractions, the weeping princess, Myrrh, whose backward longing for her own father grounds her into the dripping myrrh tree, the nymph Echo, a faded voice of weak warning against loving a Narcissus. Others are cursed when their human beauty or skill attracts the wrong gaze. Ovid sounds the ancient alarm against being seen and desired by a god. For to catch a god's gaze, to be noticed or heard, stalked or raped by divine entitlement, brings loss of human form and freedom. The mutations in store for the vulnerable object in an unequal match are graphically underscored. The bright light Apollo so pursues nimble Daphne, she is inextricably rooted as a laurel tree. Zeus, that master of the universe, causes his inamorata Io to become a fatted cow. Most terrifying, the observant gods could make humans disappear, sending them beyond life and death into Hades, the empty void, the Avides realm of invisibility. The mythologist Carl Kerenyi offers a decisive distinction between love and power, love and what he calls love magic. He writes, "What offers itself as primal divine sorcery is the all-transforming power of love." In a fortunate love encounter, power and love are balanced. So is the crack in my voice. The one is also the other. What produces unfortunate love is that disturbance of balance which appears as love magic, as a wish to arouse love through power, rather than the impersonal waking of love as a power over both the lovers. Every other kind of sorcery, Kerenyi goes on, indeed the whole of magic, stands under the sign of the simple will to power, but these are secondary in comparison to love magic. Kerenyi stresses the arousing of love through power. In these couplings, the initiator desires to overwhelm the other through compelling erotic fascination, libidinal enslavement. The pursuer is gratified by seducing the other into being in love through feeling beloved. Once accomplished, expectant entitlement demands to be reflected or reinforced as the single object, the only apple of the other's eye. Such narcissistic surges leave many stunned lovers drowning in its wake.